In the church and the Christian school, where some of the orphans that we sponsor for their Christian school education are getting their education. I don't really know anything beyond that about Pastor Mugabe, so you're going to have to tell us a little bit about yourself at the beginning, so we'll all know you a little bit better. And then he's just going to report. He's got a few pictures up here which you can come up and take a look at afterwards, and he'll undoubtedly explain those along the way. So I'm just going to pray and turn it over to him, and we'll give him as much time as we can. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we really do thank you for the way in which you are building your kingdom in Uganda. And the people that are coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ, we thank you for those like Pastor John and others who labor in the word there to build up the church. And we thank you especially for the ministry of Christian education. An education that is taking in even the fatherless, Lord. We remember that you have a special burden, a special concern, and we thank you that we've had the opportunity over the last several years to sponsor several children, individually as families, and then also even our deacons ministering in that way to provide education for these boys and girls, young men and women. And we know, Lord, that they will, as they're discipled in Christ, will take their place in the future of Uganda and in the future of your church, your kingdom there. So thanks so much for bringing Pastor John to us. We pray that you will bless his presentation and help us to learn more about his work there and have a more vivid sense of what you are doing and how we are participating in it, even though we are far removed physically from that particular mission field. So, Lord, bless this time to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm so happy this afternoon, this morning, to be here. And I'm very happy about your committedness to the service of the Lord. And I bring you greetings from my own family and greetings from the church and greetings from the children you are giving support. They all wish they were here, but it's not possible, but I'm here to represent them. On their behalf, I want to say a big thank you to all of you that have accepted this great calling and this great mission of helping somebody though he's a distant. We thank you so much for your tireless efforts to helping our children and especially our country to develop. You know that one of the factors that causes development is education. Most of African countries are backwards because people are not educated. So when you educate somebody, you are contributing to the development of not only that person, but his country and Africa as a continent. So we thank you so much for sacrificing and for giving tirelessly for the welfare of our people back home. I also grew up as an orphan. I didn't have a father, and my mother was helpless. I was raised in a family of 9 children, and it's not very easy for a woman in Africa to get a job and petition for 9 children is very difficult. But somehow, through a mission, a Presbyterian mission, we came to the Lord Jesus Christ in the late 80s. And having come to the Lord in the late 80s, we got in touch with church people. And these people from Tennessee Presbyterian Church were able to take us to some point. But they were not able to do everything for us, to finish our education programs and all that. But again, the Lord, somehow, I don't know how to explain this, got me in touch with a man who was a missionary in Japan by the names of David Moore. The pastor knows him. They somehow look alike. He had big beards here and... So this man was a missionary in Japan, and somehow I happened to land on his address, and I told him I need to go to school. Please help me. And this man was very generous that he responded positively. And so that's how I had my university education, and I'm a high school teacher now. So I'm what I am because of somebody the Lord used. And this is how God works things for us. You are what you are because of some people the Lord used. So everybody in this world is what they are because God used somebody. So when we want to make people a somebody, we've got to do something that will enable them to become a somebody. So what you are doing is very good, is very correct, is very biblical. And that's how I came to be educated. Most of the people back home are not educated because education back home is quite expensive. And people don't have time to send their children to school, but they would, instead of sending them to school, send them to grow food because of the relative poverty that is hitting the whole country. So in the same church, Presbyterian Church, I was ordained a deacon at the age of 17. I started doing music. I love music. And I was so happy when you started with the song Glory. This song Glory, Great Things He Has Done. That's my favorite song. I liked it most when the pastor led it himself, because I also do that way. I lead the music, then I preach. So in this church I became a deacon, but at the age of 19 we got another visiting preacher from Texas. And this man spoke greatly on the Great Commission. You could be knowing this man by the names of Dr. Harry Reader. He must be somewhere, I don't know which state he is now, but he's a Bible teacher. So this man spoke greatly on the Great Commission, and his message was so challenging that he ordered everybody to get out their seats and start immediately. So I was a victim of that. I went out of church and started a ministry with the prisons. I started a ministry with prisoners, and it's now a big ministry. It is no longer a Ugandan ministry, but it goes as far as South Africa, Kenya, Tanzania, Malawi, Swaziland, Lesotho, and Luanda. So it has grown. When I turned 24 years, of course, our central presbytery had a problem. They had lost one of the ministers. And this man was the pastor of Nkumba Presbyterian Church. This man died. We had known each other because he grew up on the same streets. And I had already known about his ministry. So the Central Presbytery asked me if I was willing to go and occupy this vacancy. Them knowing that I was a high school teacher and also a pastor and also an evangelist and also doing many things, they asked me to go and fill the vacancy. So I went to Nkumba and I saw the school, I saw the children, I saw the church, and it was an opportunity for me to do further ministry. This school now looks a bit different from how I found it. What has made it different is some of the gifts you have sent in every February, every beginning of the year, you send some gifts to us. Now, some of these gifts have made this school look different. In the locality, I can say that this school is the best now in performance and also in structures and in everything. This school has grown to 300 children now. 139 of these children are orphans, and the rest have somebody to pay their tuition in our school. Now, our objective and working in this school is not to make money, but is to make Christ known in the lives of these children and in the lives of these people that are going to be future leaders. For that reason, we have done a couple of new things at our campus, and these things have made it to be the best in that locality. And it's not yet to the level we want it to be. We want it to be a model school. And so we are turning it to be a boarding facility where children will have to be sleeping there. This will give us more opportunities and chances to evangelize and to take good care of these children. I have a staff of 29 men and women, 15 of whom are teachers and the rest are non-teaching staff. Most of the children you are supporting have completely lost their parents. For now they have nobody but the church to take care of them. So we found out that these children were finding it very difficult after school. Some had nowhere to stay completely, and these small girls were liable to being raped and many other things that are bad. So we decided that we shall have them stay at the campus. Now we have one structure which we are using as a dormitory. It's where these children are sleeping, but it's small. It's not big enough because the numbers are big. So the Lord willing, we would like to make this facility big enough to accommodate especially the orphans that we are extending assistance to. I was ordained as a pastor for this church 2 years back, and as a church we are committed to taking up the vision of our forefathers, and this is carrying one another's burden. By doing this, we are trying to do our very best to see that Uganda changes its face in the coming years by providing education, but more so, Christian education. We want to, and you already feel it, that if we make this school a model school, it is going to attract to over 600 children countrywide. And once it has attracted that number of children, it's going to become self-sustaining. I believe in self-sustainancy. I believe that when this school gets more structures, when it gets more furniture, when it gets more things to run its daily life, give us 2 years from now, we shall be self-sustaining. We shall be able to even get in more orphans and educate them. We shall be more able to give them daily basic needs. I'm not very happy to report that some of the children that are in our classes, some of them are halfway dressed because of the circumstances, and we can't ask them to go away because they are halfway dressed. We want to do everything to see that these children also feel the passion of Christ. And so when we equip our school and make it model, we get in more children from elsewhere, and these children are going to be paying tuition, and this tuition will be enough to feed these children, to clothe them, to take them to hospital whenever need arises, and to generally take care of them. But for now, the budget of the school greatly depends on what you give. Until maybe we have more buildings and facilities in place that we can be able to get other children elsewhere, and then we stand on our own. Important to note also is that some of these children are infected with AIDS. But we are not God, so we don't know when the Lord is going to call them. So we don't have the power to say, don't come in class. We just allow everybody to come in class, and then the Lord will do His way for them. I know 15 who are infected, and 4 of whom you are giving support. They are sick, and they are always on and off. They are always sick, and their health is really bad. So that's the kind of society that the Lord has called us to do ministry. Now, I don't know why, but it seems there is an objective. There is a big reason why the Lord allows certain things to happen the way they do. If I told you that where I grew up, you would not imagine. But it's the reality. I look at these children as potential leaders, potential businessmen and women, potential teachers, potential everything. But when you look at them on sight, you may never think that they will come out as somebody. But that's how I was. I was even worse, because nobody would take me to school. I went to school when I was already grown up. But now I hold a diploma in education and a degree in education management, and I'm doing another degree in counseling. So we cannot despise this humble beginning. But what I mean is, we have and we need to do more. Now, for the last 2 years, we have been able to pass out 280 children going to join secondary school education. But in our locality, we don't have any Christian secondary school. What we have is purely Muslim secondary school. And the opportunity these people have had over us is that when we send our children there, they have been Christians for the 7 years, and now they turn to be Muslims. Now that's a mess. And that is bad. And that's very dangerous. The Lord willing, next year, we would like to start up a secondary school. Would like to start with two classrooms, grade 1 and grade 2, that is senior 1 and senior 2. Now, our education is a bit different from yours here. Back home, a person will have to go to kindergarten for 2 years, and then will have to go in primary school for 7 years, and then after primary school, they will have to go to secondary school for 6 years. Now, secondary school is sometimes called high school, meaning senior 1 to senior 6. Then after that, they will have to go to university for 3 years, depending on the course they want to take on. Because we are not able, we want to start with 2 classrooms, so that we don't have to give away our 85 children we have in primary 7 this year to a Muslim school. We don't want to do that because the behaviors of these Muslims are a bit different and very different from our Christian ethics. Having the chance and opportunity of free labor from prisoners, I'm a staff of prison service back home, and so whenever I'm building something, whenever I really have some big construction work, I would get free labor. I would go to jail and get maybe 10 or 15 men and bring them on site, and we work together. So I've been able to put 3 more classrooms with free labor, nothing charged at all. It's a matter of buying cement, sand, and a few other things, then put up another building. So the Lord willing, next year, we want to put up 2 more classrooms, and these classrooms will work as senior 1 and senior 2, so we can get back some of our children and also the children we are going to graduate this November, that we may get them into our own school. Now, this process is not very easy, and we need prayers from you. And we need you to remember us always. This struggle is not ours only. This struggle is for all of us. Remember the Apostle Paul. If you are weak, if you are strong and you see a weak brother, help them to become strong. And let the strong, let the weak say, I'm strong. Those are some of the principles we are relying upon to do some of these things. They're not very easy to be done, but we have a strong foundation upon which we are doing this. This is a great challenge for the church because this is how our church looks like. And these two are officers. I will have to give up my office to work as the administration office for the high school until we get them an office. Meaning that I'll have to do most of my pastoral work back home. And my home is a bit far from school. It is 45 minutes drive. So this pushes us into another need for a house near the church. But before that is done, we would like to begin with two classrooms. Now the Lord has helped us. By the time I got to this school, they had 9 teachers. 2 of them were Christians, but we now have 15, and all of them are Christians. So they pray with us in the church. We are looking at this high school as another opportunity to do more evangelism. When we have these children, it will be very easy for us to put on their timetable chapel hours, thereby sharing something about the love of Jesus Christ. And we are able to do this only by the grace of God. Now, when I talk about constructing a high school in Uganda, it's very different from when you will talk about constructing one here. With about $20,000, I'd be able to put up 4 classrooms with furniture. I don't believe you'd be able to do that here with that. And I thank God because ours is a bit easy. And as you look at those buildings, they're very strong. But they have not cost me a lot. I also want to say that most of this work that has been done has been through the support of so many people. So many people around the country and many others from the church itself. And so when the Lord brings us together, we can do something big and great. Now, some of the children you are supporting, academically, they are not able. And so with this high school, we shall make it kind of a vocational secondary school. It will be offering academics, but also it will be offering other skills which some of these children can take on and earn a living. Other skills like carpentry, bricklaying, mechanics, to mention but a few. The problem addressed by the project is that lack of Christian-based secondary education services and facilities for the children of the area. The strategy adopted is that of involving the stakeholders, community, in the entire process, use of local materials and labor to keep costs low, and securing external help from other sources, both materials and technical. For example, if the government saw that you're putting up a high school, they would help us with books in the library. Because of high costs of the project will be implemented in phases, we can't start with the 6 classes at the same time, but want to start with 2 classrooms next year. And then the other year we add on another classroom, and then the other year another classroom, until we have all the class, until we have all the 6 classrooms. Now, this is the statement of the problem. Education of both boys and girls is a key factor in promoting development because it empowers the young with knowledge, skills, and collect activities towards work and life in general. This is especially so if the education provided comprises Christian values and practices. Now, in Uganda, we have a problem of Islam. The people who are Muslims in Uganda are trying to evangelize their doctrines and to indoctrinate them to whoever they have an opportunity to do so. So when our children join their high school, they now greet in Islam. When they are going to sleep, they pray in Islam. Everything they are going to do, they are indoctrinated. And this makes them to forget the Christian values. This is especially so if the education provided comprises Christian values and practices, as is the case at Nkumba Christian Primary School. This is because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge. The problem addressed in these proposals for the Christian-based vocational secondary school is that the children in the area lack access to Christian-based secondary education services. This places them with a big risk of taking up secular practices once they complete primary circle of education. It should be noted that they are still adolescents at that age, therefore vulnerable to temptations and backsliding. Aims and objectives. The overall aim of us starting a vocational secondary school is to provide Christian basic skills and education to the children of the area so that they can grow into a God-fearing, productive, and responsible citizen. Now, that would be our main reason for wanting to start this high school. But as I've already said, I want to thank you so, so much for having stood with us over the years and for continuing to stand with us. I want to say that God bless this country so much for the influence it has had, especially on Uganda, because most of the people back home that are successful, somehow, somewhere, there is a hand of an American family. So, Americans, the Lord has used you to influence many things. And we thank Him for giving you the opportunity to do so. Now, you have to regard that as a big blessing and as a big opportunity for you to be able to stand with somebody and make them a somebody. It's very, very good that the Lord chooses whoever He wants to choose. So this time, He has chosen you. Go ahead, don't give up the fight. We are always in prayer for you. And I want to close by reading you 4 verses from the Word of God, taken from Psalms 126. After reading this, maybe you can ask me a few questions and then I'll be done. Psalms 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams of the Nevi, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. It is sometimes hard to sow something, especially when you don't have enough. But when time for reaping comes, you reap with joy. We are also trying to do something for our own people. When I was 18, I adopted a boy who was 8 years old, called Alex. This boy, his father died in my hands in prison. When this man was dying, he cried and shouted, "I'm dying, but my son." That was a clear indication that he wanted me to do something for his son. When I was 18, I had nothing. I had nothing, but I had the Word of God with me. I knew that the Lord will never give you a mission when he's not going to accomplish it. So I took on this boy. He's now 17 years and is in high school. Because he's intelligent, the school where he is decided that he studies for free. And I'm so sure that this boy is going to make it to university. He always tells me he wants to become a doctor. So don't give up on that boy or girl you are standing with. You never know. And for sure we don't know what God holds for them. Thank you very much, and now I welcome your questions. Yes.
All over Africa, the great catastrophe of AIDS destroys society. Many of each guest are dying from others. They show doctors, lawyers, teachers, because so many people dying. Uganda is the one nation where the prevalence of AIDS is decreasing, according to public health people. And I am told that the church is the primary reason that is happening in Uganda. Can you tell me what the church is doing to make a difference in this area? And number two, the children you have who are infected with AIDS, are today there are medications now to prolong people's life almost indefinitely who are infected with HIV. Do these children have access to those medicines?
I'll start with the last question. We do not have access to that because those medicines are very expensive back home. So we do not have access to that. Now, what we do as pastors and evangelists back home, we don't preach compromising messages. We teach what the Lord gives us to, and we call sin, sin. So this has been helpful for people to be careful with what they thought was a mistake into being a real sin. And also the church is trying to preach against polygamists. Now, we have so many people in Uganda who are married to many wives. So the church is refusing that. Because that's one of the ways most of our people have got the disease. One man has five wives. And these wives are not contented with this man, so they have to go out and find other ways, and so they get in AIDS. So we are trying to preach against having many wives. And we are teaching these people the danger that is in having many children. My own father had many wives. That killed him. We are also trying to teach these people that God forgives a sinner, but nature does not forgive you when you sin. God will forgive you, He loves you, but nature doesn't. The laws of nature are very complicated that nobody changes them. When you put up something, it automatically has to come down. And then we've been also able to teach pastors. You know, in our country we have many pastors that are not educated. And so they think if somebody goes and commits adultery, they'll come to church and lay their hands on them. Then the virus will get out of their blood. That's a lie. Nature has nothing to do with your reckless way of behaviors. Have I answered your question? She uses the church. She uses the pastors. Yes.
Mrs. Museveni is the first lady of the country. Mm-hmm. You just tell us, I think a lot of the students especially would be interested to know, what's a day in the life of the school like for the students that attend there? What's their schedule? What do they do? Do they get to go out and play at recess? What do they study?
Every academic year we have three terms, and each term is 13 weeks, but we have a timetable in our school, and every day we have at least 12 lessons. Now that could be a bit different from you here. These children will have to get in class by 8 in the morning. Then they will have their first 4 lessons. Then they will come out at 4, at 10:30 for break. And that break is usually 30 minutes. That's when they will take porridge, tea, play around, and they get back to class at exactly 11. Then from 11 to 1, they'll go for lunch. Lunch will go for 1 hour. At exactly 2, they'll get back to class. They'll have 2 more hours of reading and study. At 4, they'll come out of class. And those who have where to go, go. And those who are giving shelter at school, stay. They can take a shower. They can do everything they want. Then sleep. That's how we run it. Yes. In our locality, we are the only people who have a primary school, and there is no single high school there. So when the Muslims saw that opportunity, they wanted to come and take it. So we want to take it away from them back. See? So there are not many Muslims, but they are trying to do their crusades. They are trying to evangelize, especially to the little children. And they have already indoctrinated a lot of things in their lives. So we want to fight back. And the best way we can fight back is by putting a high school. Because when the children see us putting a high school, we are sure most of the children don't want to be in a Muslim school. They will come. Yes. It's the material. If I had sand, cement, and bricks, I would have all this work done in 2 months or so, because I have all the labor I need. I have technical people I can use for free. But the materials are the problem. One room could cost me $7,000, one room. That would have chairs in, blackboard, a small store, and furnished. So $7,000 would do one room. Now, our classrooms are big. They can accommodate 100 children. That's why they are big. And that's why they can... I think this would be 2 classrooms.
So, if one classroom, you can start a high school.
Yes. Yes. Would start a high school with one class. Yes, 7,000 would start. Yes, sir.
Are there other children who would like and could come to the school currently that you can't accommodate?
Yes.
Do you have a waiting list or others that...
Did
you say there were 300?
Yes, we have 300. But we want to make a school of... a capacity school for 600. Now, we have 300 already, and we cannot accommodate any other children because there are no classrooms for them to sit. So, if we had more classrooms, we would get another intake until we get to 600. But because we don't have furniture, we don't have classrooms, etc., sometimes we use the furniture for the church, for the children to sit on, but they are not comfortable because our furniture is not made for children to learn from. So it's not very comfortable. But if we have 2 other blocks, now when I talk of a block, I mean 1, 2, 3 classrooms. If we have 2 other blocks, that would be for 100 each classroom, that would be 300. Add on what we have already, 600.
What about teachers for the new classes? Is it easy to get qualified teachers, or is that difficult as well?
The Lord helped us that most of our people in the church are teachers, both primary school teachers and high school teachers. So majority of what we have as in skills are teachers. Yes. I don't know the total cost, but I know that my house would cost me like $10,000. That would be enough for me. Those are 3 rooms with kind of an office, and that's enough. Yes.
Percentage of your population is Muslim, and what do they teach in their high school?
Muslims have just come into our area. It used to be a locality with Catholics. But when Muslims saw that our school had many children and there was no single high school, that's when they came in. And now they are starting to come in. There are now many coming in, renting all the houses around. They want to take over the place. So when we wake up, when it's early, we shall fight them back. So I don't know the percentage, but they are beginning to come. You now find more people with hats on the road, a thing that was not true in the olden days. They are teaching these high school children that Christianity is not true. It's Islam that is true. And so, children who are teenagers, they want things that will impress them. If you gave them free lunch and good lunch and you provided free books for them, free pens, and you put up good facilities for them, they would easily be drawn with that. That's what the Muslims are doing. Yes.
How large is the... Is Nakumba the name of the town?
Or yes.
Okay. So how big is Nakumba?
It's very big, with so many people.
100,000? 200,000?
More than that. I don't know the actual number, but there are many. It's like Islam. Many, many small houses, many people. And now another opportunity that is arising on the same road. This is the road that comes right from the airport. So many people want to stay there. On the same road, there is a university coming up. So if we have a primary school, then we have a high school, then our children will be going to this university here. And we thank God for that. Yes. The university is not a Muslim university. I don't know actually the people who are building it, but it seems to be a secular university. It is unfortunate that the university I went to is a Christian university, but very expensive for one to go. Very expensive.
Our question is, one is that in the curriculum in the school, what do you employ in terms of theological education for the students? And along with that, now with the influx of Muslims coming to your area, are you employing a way to refute Islam?
We are trying to train teachers who are going to work as our chapel masters and mistresses. And in the curriculum, we are giving these people books that defend the faith. We have the small and large catechisms and a lot of Bible stuff for memorization. So we are trying to fight in that area by training some teachers to be responsible for chapel, since we have a big challenge with the Muslims. So
the teaching, I assume, is the teaching is done in English?
Yes. All the children you are supporting can speak English, and somehow better than me. Some of them. I speak over 6 languages, so mastering all of them, I couldn't get a very good accent in English, but that's okay. Somebody had a question. The church is devoted to taking care of her needs and also the children. They are sick on and off, but we are trying to take care of their needs. I left her in my home with my wife and other people taking care of her. So I know she's okay, but if she had extra money, she would get some of this medicine that would keep her going for some time. But the medicine seemed to be expensive than what we have. Yes. We have one dormitory for now, and we have only 30 children. Yes. We have so many broken families in the church. We have majority of our church are widows. And the widows, majority of them, we have more women than men. So we have many families here. We only have like 10 families that are couple, wife and husband. The rest are broken our families.
Steve, did you hear what I was going to ask? How do you have all these clients in the building? Is there enough sufficient land to accommodate the ideal situation?
One of the things the Lord blessed with us in my prison ministry, an ex-prisoner gave us a big chunk of land. And this land is just after this church here, behind the church. So it's big. All these things would fit there. It's a big chunk of land. Thank you very much.